RTI, a place just like home.
Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, attending a quintessential English garden party. It's at the ancient Plough Inn in the village of Woodseams. That's one of the villagers, Jed, singing in the background. But he isn't singing for his supper. There's no need to. There's been a barbecue with good farm-produced steaks, sausages and beef burgers going all day. The aroma is incredible. Jed's singing to raise money for Holidays for Heroes and Help for War Widows, two new charities. They were set up to bring comfort and security to members of our armed forces and their families because of the war on terror in Afghanistan and Iraq. It's a quintessential English garden party because it's traditional. No, not old-fashioned, but traditional. The village got together on this summer Sunday to play garden golf, have a laugh and a few drinks together. It's a real afternoon of beer and skittles. Their small country pub has become home from home again for a group of neighbours. Some of them have only managed a nod to each other in a decade. This is Jan Cartwright, who's landlady at the Plough Inn. It was her and my husband Richard who arranged this event. How do you think it's going, Jan?
Oh, it's lovely to see so many of the local people here to support this cause.
But that's the sound of merry old England enjoying itself. And make no bones about it, this little bit of England is very merry today.
How do you think it's going up to now?
It's going very well, yeah. It's been a good day.
Have you enjoyed yourself?
I have, thanks. No, go on, carry on.
How have your jokes gone down?
They've gone down. We got some laughs, which is always a bonus, but it's been a good day.
And you think it's been a worthwhile experience? You think we've raised lots of money for charity?
That was Martin the Duke Ward. He'd travelled 80 miles with his mum to do stand-up for the village. He looked a little bit like Peter Kay, a famous British comedian, and for a few seconds the crowd thought that it might be him, but they weren't to be fooled. But they've still taken the Duke to heart and laughed at all his jokes. Everybody's having a good time.
And now we've got with us Margaret, who has been running the tombola stall.
Helping to run the tombola stall.
Margaret's been helping to run the tombola stall. And how long have you lived in the village?
46 years.
Have you seen an event like this before in the village?
Not for this, no. We've had fetes.
Mm-hmm.
Janet run fetes in the village.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we've had something, a charity like this.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Excellent, excellent. And on the tombola, you and your daughter
Christine.
You reckon you've raised...
£155.50.
That's excellent, isn't it? Yes. You've done really well.
Very pleased indeed.
So what are you going to do now? Are you going to relax?
Yes, because there's nothing else to do. We're just going to enjoy what's going on.
Excellent. Well, thanks for speaking to us.
This is the sort of event which heals wounds. And that's what Holidays for Heroes and Help for War Widows is all about. Healing wounds, physical, mental and emotional. More than anything, though, these charities are about people who care. And here's somebody who really cares, Naomi Wiggins. She lost her boyfriend in Afghanistan. Because she wasn't John's next of kin, the Ministry of Defence had no interest in her, or her loss. So she found out about his death when somebody texted her.
Right, now we're going to have a quick chat with Naomi, who has travelled 300 miles to be in this, to attend this village event today. First of all, on behalf of the village and the plough, I'd like to say thank you, Naomi. How do you think it's gone?
It's gone really well, actually, yeah.
You reckon that the last event you did, you raised thousands of pounds. I think that's incredible. I hope that we've raised at least a quarter of what you raised. How do you think we will have done?
Well, it's been a good turnout. Everyone seems to have been dipping into their pockets, so you know, hopefully we would have raised a fair amount for today.
Now, how do you feel about the charities now that they've actually started to take off, that people are actually taking notice of it, and we're actually doing events? Do you think that we're going to do well as a charity?
I'd like to hope so. I know there's definitely work out there that can be done, and there's going to be a lot of help that we can offer, so we'll just have to wait and see. But hopefully, yeah, it will start to snowball.
There's a serious side to it as well, of course, isn't there? And you are the person who's going out and explaining the serious side to it. An event like this is fun and enjoyable, but would you like just to say how you feel about the serious side of it and what these events are really about?
It's just about making sure that there are families, widows, anyone that's lost a partner or a friend or anyone that they've been close to in Afghan or Iraq, to make sure that the people they leave behind aren't suffering alone, and making sure that we can do anything within our power to make that time of grieving so much easier. For myself and a couple of others that I know, it wasn't easy and it wasn't, you know, a smooth ride. So if we can change that for others, then it's all good.
So now you're going to do the raffle for us, aren't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, Naomi's going to draw the raffle, but first of all I'd just like to thank her very much for coming all the way over from Sussex for us to help support us today. So can we give a big thanks to Naomi for coming? I'd also just like to thank everybody that's come today, all the helpers and everybody that sponsored us as well. So thank you very much.
Number 58.
58!
Kirk.
Woo!
Holidays for Heroes takes injured British forces people to Aqua City, which some have described as a miracle in the mountains. And there's no doubt the hotel with its treatment rooms, pools, spas and cryotherapy chamber is getting a lot of these people fighting fit again. Some have arrived at the hotel in Poprad, Slovakia, with battlefield injuries so bad they faced life on crutches or in a wheelchair. But within a week of arriving at the £200 million complex at the foot of the High Tatra Mountains, some of their lives have been changed. One said after visiting Aqua City, "I couldn't stand up straight and couldn't attend the parade ground. I was about to be kicked out, but after a week of treatment at Aqua City, I could stand up straight and I could even run. A single ricocheting friendly fire bullet had torn through this chap's body at least three times outside the camp in Basra. Another squaddy, aged 20, suffered back injuries when a quad bike rolled on him. But after treatments in the cryotherapy chamber, his injuries eased dramatically. Well, that's it. The day's drawing to a close. The singing and the laughter will go on throughout the evening, just as it used to in old English pubs like this across the country. Naomi has started a four-hour train journey home. All I can say to everybody, that it's been a really good day. Thank you.
Welcome back to Postcard from Poprad Part 2, boys and girls. I trust and I just hope you enjoyed that brilliant report. I'm amazed, Lee. Your editing's getting really good.
I'll get you for that. I'm going to get you for that. You will not survive till the end of this programme.
But hey, I want to say thank you to everybody over at the Plough Inn and all the wonderful people that got in there. You could hear it was a fabulous day. It sounded terribly Absolutely. English, dear boy. Terribly English.
That's what it was. That's why I said it at the beginning. There is, like I said, there's a quintessentiality about Slovakia, and it hasn't lost that. And England shouldn't lose what the Plough Inn offered us this weekend, which was to do a summer Sunday garden barbecue with games. That's what Britain's about, to raise money for people who are less fortunate than the others. And the villagers came down in force, and they gave their money to help people. I think at the end of the day, we're not quite sure, so it'd be unfair to give a proper figure, but we've definitely raised over £900.
Well done. Well done. And congrats to Naomi for the huge travelling that she went through to get up to you. That was fabulous.
She was brilliant. She
Absolutely
was, honestly.
Lovely.
And Naomi.
Probably she didn't draw out my winning ticket.
Well, no, but I didn't tell them it was yours. And
So you're telling me is the money I sent you in the post, you didn't buy tickets from me with?
I did, you little liar. Don't you embarrass me in front of the world.
Well done to the Plough, by the way.
Well done.
We'll move on to some of our quickie stories. We've got one for the boys now.
Oh, we're doing that one?
Yeah, we'll do that one now.
Are we doing any messages?
Well, in a minute, yes, we'll do some messages, don't worry.
Oh, all right.
Do you want to do some messages now?
Why don't you get them out of the way, quick?
Go on then, off you go.
Hang on, you'll have to let me get to them, because I'll have to be really quick now. I've lost my messages. Yeah, there's one here, right? One I just want to say very quickly to an old friend of mine. I just want to send Fraser Thompson my condolences. He's had a bit of a shock this week. Mm. But apart from that, we have a message, believe it or not, from my ex-wife.
Uh-oh. For you. For me?
Yes, for you.
Oh, God.
I think she's having a go at me, actually. But it's my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. She's never been in touch with me for decades.
Right.
Right?
Is she being rude? Is she
she listens to the show, mate. She listens to the show.
Would you like me to be more rude to him? Because I can do that.
No, be rude to her.
No.
Yes. She's rude to you.
No, can't be.
Do you want the message?
Go on,
this
then.
Is off chat. Right. She was listening to the show last week when you said that word.
Ah.
She's translated it. And do you know what it is in Italian?
No. No, we don't want to know.
It's shame-o.
Is it?
I think she's aiming that at me, actually.
Yeah, well, probably. Yes. Well, actually, thinking about it, she must be a bit of an angel, you know.
Don't take me down that road. Start on the next one.
Anyway, let's get back to one for the boys and play safe. Are you right, boys? Sit down in your chairs.
Yes, here we go. I'm sitting
Calm yourselves. If you need to have a little drop of the amber nectar, please do so now before I read this story out. Blood pressures could go high. Apparently, Jennifer Aniston, the former Friends actress and drop-dead gorgeous, wonderful, I love her, is to take on her most risque role, appearing in a film. Topless!
Biffer's out!
Yes! Apparently, reports from Hollywood say Aniston has agreed to play the part of a free-loving, married woman who ends up living in a hippie community. Oh, my God, did you write it?
With a biffers out!
A hippie community. Did you write the script for this?
No, there's nothing wrong. You can get your biffers out in a hippie community if you want. You can get everything
well, I'm
out
just thinking
you could actually
hippie
have a new fringe theatre.
Stop it. A hippie community, I thought you'd write the story. She's to star in the film, which is called Wanderlust, which calls for her to strip off for the first time in her acting career.
Is she called Wanda in this?
I don't know.
No, we're all listening after her.
I don't think it was. A character also indulges in threesomes with two other women, sleeps around with numerous men, and takes drugs. We don't recommend that on this program. But
no,
there you are. One for the boys. who would the girls like to see topless?
Me.
Stupid. So come on, girls. Who would you like to see topless?
The Duke.
I knew that was coming.
You.
Definitely not. I've got a great face for radio. That's good. Moving along to Facebook. This is one of yours, isn't it?
I don't know. What's that?
Aye.
Oh, I think this is terrible. And it is one of those perennial complaints that I do every week. This really is, Eric, the end of our privacy.
Uh-huh.
Facebook have come up with... what did I say?
Facebook.
I didn't say it. As long as that's what I said, I suddenly thought, or maybe I'd said something else. Woohoo!
Facebook.
Anyway, yeah, iPhone users are now going to be tracked wherever they go, whether they're in the pub, a restaurant, a brothel.
Only if they allow it.
It doesn't matter.
It does.
It doesn't matter whether they allow it or not. It's the fact that somebody has had the temerity to come up with some kind of application that can actually do this.
All right. Let's try two things here. One, let's imagine you have a teenager as a
I do actually.
Right. And that teenager is walking around. It's a little bit late. Dad's worried, and because they've got an iPhone, you can see where they are, and you're either happy or panicking. Is that not a good thing?
You know what? I've never thought of it that way.
Hmm.
I can see your point up to that point, but I'm sure there are far...
Right, and can I tell you what Facebook's doing is not new? It's... blimey. In England, it's in excess of 30 years old, this sort of story.
Why?
Let's picture the scene, boys and girls.
Go on, let's picture the scene.
We're listening to one of those little local FM radio stations around your country.
Right.
And Lee phones up and says, I've got a problem, Eric. So I say, what's your problem, Lee? And he says, I'm going out with two women at the same time.
I've done that.
So I said, well, what's your problem then, Lee? So he goes, I don't know which one to go for. Who are they, Lee? It's Jane and Beryl. Well, what do you like about them? Well, I like Jane for this one. I like Beryl for that one. So I go, okay. So after about 20 minutes of peeing my pants and not letting that go through on the radio, I've told Lee, let's go with Beryl. So Lee says, great idea, I'll dump the other one. So I say, okay, yeah. Well, you dump Jane. By which time his phone goes 30 seconds later because Jane's listening to the radio. It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
It is.
It is absolutely nothing like it.
They phone up talk shows. It's not by accident. They phone into talk shows. And go,
I really went along with you for that. I sat there in silence listening to every word you said, thinking it was going to make sense. That was absolute rubbish.
People do it.
Of course they do. But this is simple fact. The internet. There was a novel written by another famous novelist who you probably deny ever existed, H.G. Wells.
Oh, he's good.
Who said, yeah, who wrote about Big Brother, not the television programme, the fact that the internet is going to watch every single step of your life. It can look through your bedroom windows from the sky. It can follow you to the pub. It can tell you how much is in your bank account.
I know.
It tells everybody what you eat. It's despicable.
But there again, if I had somebody walking around London who was youngish and they had an iPhone and I could check where they were, I'd be very happy.
Now that's where my... But no, there are other ways to do it. You can do that with all sorts of bleeping systems.
Not if they've fallen over and hurt themselves. By accident, not drinking, being very sensible. A teenager being very sensible. I know that's hard to comprehend. And they've fallen over, bumped their head, and they're knocked out cold. You would still be able to find them. And that's not a bad thing.
So the whole world has got to put its privacy in danger based on the fact that some kid might fall over and hurt its head,
well,
and we can rescue it.
Yes.
We have a rescue service. We have a 999 service that does that.
Nobody phones a 999 when they see somebody on the floor anymore. It's useless.
They'll go over and rob them.
Yeah, exactly. No shame. It'll be number one.
And will it, Eck?
It will. This is set for number one. Robbie Williams and Gary Barlow. The new single's out. If you haven't heard it yet, it's around everywhere. It's available for download in October, gold, which means we've got to listen to it for over a month before it comes out. It's a pair, been on every radio and television station, first interviews in 15 years, to promote the new single. I have to say, it is a very, very clever song, and it's getting rave reviews from everybody. Everybody that's listened to it's giving it rave reviews.
It's all right. It's a nice little song, but like anything, Robin Williams was really good when he was in Morecambe and Mindy. Since then, his career's gone down the toilet with JD Thing.
I love the. He just caught it so beautifully, and the video's great because it's
the video's nice, but it's totally derivative of every 1950s, 60s Americana video that's ever been made. There is nothing new about this. It's a nice little gentle song. What Robbie Williams?
Nice lyrics. Nice lyrics.
The lyrics are weak and derivative.
No.
Robbie Williams is a fairly good singer. Right, he's a brilliant performer,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a beautiful charisma. But one thing that lets him down are his songs. His songs are rubbish, man. He can't write a song to save his life. Even Angels, or whatever it was called, was only average.
Angels.
Yeah, it was average.
Rock DJ.
Average. That was pretty good, actually.
I'll tell you what, there's a couple of, and I'm not saying they're equal or different or the same or anything like that. When you look at Robbie and somebody like Sinatra, what they're very clever at is singing a song for the populace. That's what they're clever at.
Did you see Robbie doing Frank Sinatra songs?
Yes, I have the DVD of it.
Yeah. But he can't sing. His singing was far weaker than Sinatra's ever was, even when Sinatra was in his 80s.
Because he sings different, for goodness sake. He's from near where you are. He's a foreigner.
Sinatra sings good.
I'm telling you now, in the popular scenario of life, the popular, this track is going to be number one with Robbie and Gary Barlow. The track's called Shame.
I'm sure it will.
You remember that? Predict it now. And I reckon it's actually going to do something more for Robbie Williams than Gary Barlow.
Well, I'm sure it is, because everybody wants Robbie Williams to come back. And honestly, quite genuinely, he lives about 25 miles down the road.
No, he doesn't. He lives in America.
I just said when he's in Britain. He lives in Stoke-on-Trent. He's got a little council house down there. I've been there. We've had a couple of tea together.
I'm sure you have. Anyway, good luck to Robbie and Gary. Nice to see they're back together again. It just goes to show that after 15 years of falling out with each other, people can start to communicate again. And that's never a bad thing. Never a bad thing. This is Lee's. Apparently there's some guy called J.D. Salinger, I've heard of J.R. Hartley, whose toilet is up for sale for €1 million. Now, Lee will tell you the entire story of this bloke and his silly little bit of paperback. And I thought, hang on a minute, just before the show, I'll have a look at this toilet that's for sale on eBay. Yeah. Not that I like eBay very much, but that's a different story. And on eBay, it says that the toilet's up for sale for $1 million, or you can put in an offer for it.
Yeah.
Right? The best offer showing on eBay at the moment, nothing.
I'm going to put an offer in. Hang on. I'll tell you what, I'm going to put an offer in. When we finish this show, I'm going to put an offer in, see if we can get it for a tenner.
We might as well do. What was this book he wrote?
What do you mean, what was this book he wrote?
What was the book he wrote?
That's so shameful, honestly. He wrote, probably, one of the world's greatest books called Catcher in the Rye. Uh-huh. It came out in 1951.
Was that a typo?
What? Why?
Catcher in the Eye.
How wry can you be?
It's all right, Lee. The jokes will just carry on getting corny.
Cool. Listen here. I'm going to finish this story.
We're going to stop harvesting these jokes.
Or you'll end up being stalked.
Get on with it, for God's sake.
J.D. Salinger, right, wrote Catcher in the Rye, which is a beautiful, enigmatic, charming little book. Oh. It's the only thing he ever wrote. Right? He wrote it in 1951, and at the moment it became a big seller, which it did, it still is a massive seller 50 years on, right? He became a recluse. He banished off the face of the earth. I know where he was, actually, because certain people did. But he wouldn't give interviews. He wouldn't talk to people. He just lived his life. And one thing that obviously was very close to him was his toilet, which he described as his reading throne. Right? And now, somebody, because he died, I think it was about, I don't know when he died, not long ago. Anyway, somebody, his builder, took his toilet.
Right.
And now has put it up for sale. Now, I have to hold my hands up and say, I don't think J.D. Salinger's toilet is worth $1 million. But I tell you what, I'll go on eBay and see if I get it. I'm going to put
$10.
£40.
All right, £40
I'll go to.
Okay. So anyway, we'll just see if Lee's best offer of £40 comes up on eBay. You'll know who it is. Now, apparently John Lennon's toilet is also up for sale.
Well, no, and that's what you highlighted something in your incredible journalistic way that actually nobody's put a bid on J.D. Salinger's toilet at $1 million. But now, John Lennon's toilet's gone up for sale and we're only asking a paltry £1,000 for it.
Well,
I think John Lennon's toilet might just be worth £1,000.
I'd like to do a survey, which I haven't got time to do, but we'll walk down two high streets and go, who is J.D. Salinger? Who is John Lennon? And I know who'd win.
Well, of course he would. But Eric, there are different levels of culture in society. And because one is not what you class as popular, you class everything that's popular that is dross. If it's dross, that sounds like I'm saying John Lennon's dross. I'm not.
Excuse me!
What?
Is Tchaikovsky dross?
No.
Is Bach dross?
It depends if he's mad.
I will narrow it in. Is Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor dross? Is the Planet Suite by Holst dross? Is the 1812 Overture by Tchaikovsky dross?
No.
I would admit the Sugar Plum Fairy is dross, but that's different because there's all people running around with skirts on, including guys.
Is the Empiric Gulag by Tchaikovsky dross?
Sorry? Can't hear you, Lee. I've lost you completely.
No, you haven't, you little liar. I know damn well you can hear me.
It's like all this stuff, it gets so overrated.
It doesn't get overrated. How can you overrate John Lennon's toilet?
Well, no, that's different.
Toilet. He sang down that big white telephone.
I'm sure he did, more than once. Apparently, it was the toilet from the, say this carefully, Tittenhurst Park in Berkshire. That was John Lennon's home.
Between posh toilet.
That was a posh toilet. Oh, and he gave the toilet to his builder to use as a plant pot. I've done that.
I thought that was pot plant.
No, plant pot. Actually, I did that once.
What?
I went to, somebody was throwing out an old Victorian toilet that was never been used. It was still in the, like, tissue paper where it was wrapped in. Right? So I stuck it in the garden.
No.
Everybody thought I was nuts. And what I did is I went to the local fishing shop place and I got one of those tiny water pumps, sealed the back of the toilet up, and it was one of those, put like a little water fountain in it.
That's like the pissing boy in what's it, isn't it?
Yes.
The Netherlands.
You said that naughty word now, didn't you?
Yeah, but no, that's what it's called. You just said the naughty word last week just because you felt like it. I was actually saying it realistically.
I'll have to bleep that now.
That's what it's called.
I'll have to bleep it.
You didn't bleep you.
Well, I'll have to bleep you.
You can't bleep me if you bleep me.
Can in America because we'll get into trouble otherwise. moving along to something slightly sensible as we get to... Well, we've got to go. Scottish singer Susan Boyle said she was humbled and honoured to be asked to perform at the Pope's Open Air Mass in Glasgow as the Pope is starting his tour of the UK in Scotland, Pope Benedict, and it's a four-day visit to the UK. And if you ever thought that driving to work was a nightmare, spare a thought for the guys in China who had a 9-day crawl to work near Beijing due to roadworks, breakdowns and heavy traffic. Congratulations to Lady Gaga, who's become the queen of Twitter. She's overtaken Britney Spears over last weekend as the Twitter with the most followers, according to MTV.com. She's now got 5.7 million followers. Good on her. We'd like Lady Gaga. We do indeed. We'll be back next week, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, Damia Pani, and we will get to your messages this week. If you want to find out more about Holidays for Heroes and the War Widows charity, have a look at holidaysforheroes.com. So it's www.holidaysforheroes.com. And you can actually find out a lot more about some of the amazing widows and soldiers that have been injured. And they're fabulous stories as well, because some of those just, well, we are never ever as brave as those people. Thanks for your time, boys and girls. We've got to go, Lee. I've got to say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Well done on that marvellous editing, Lee.
RTI.